Morning. Today's daf is daf chaf beis. We're back on chaf aleph. We're starting at the Mishnah chaf aleph amud aleph. Over the course of this parak, we've been covering the tamuras of all the different types of karbanos. We started the parak with the tamura of ashlamim. We moved along to the tamura of a karban todo. That was the Mishnah on the middle of yuches amud beis. Tamura of a karban ola. Tamura of a karban asham, and finally we're here. We're at the end of the parak, and we're discussing now the tamura of a bechor and tamura of maaser behema. Okay, why should these animals be different than all other karbanos that are mentioned throughout the parak? So, as we're going to learn later this morning, these animals are fundamentally different simply because these animals are not going to be offered on the mizbeach. The Gemara is going to quote a drasha later on. That these animals, these tamur animals, are not offered on the mizbeach. Unlike the tamur of an ola, which the Mishnah says is all the rules and regulations of the karban ola, and the same thing is true with shlamim. But over here by bechor meiser, the tamur of these animals are simply not offered on the mizbeach. Okay, they're not offered on the mizbeach. What do you do with these animals? You wait. It develops a blemish, and you eat it. You eat a bemumo. You eat it with its blemish. Okay, we'll see all this inside in the Gemara coming up in just a moment. Question the Gemara is going to ask a little bit later on, if I could preview, is, okay, so if I'm not going to bring this animal on the Mizbech, and if it has no opportunity to be brought on the Mizbech, can I put a blemish on this animal? Am I allowed to be matal mum? Okay, by all of the karbanos, the answer is no, you can't. You can't put a blemish on a karban. That's usur. In fact, by Bechor, we learned back in Bechoros that you're prohibited, absolutely prohibited from putting a blemish on an animal. The Gemara, the Chachamim, put a kanas on you. If you do, so fine. But over here, you know that the Tamur's Bechor is not going to be offered on the Mizbech. So can I put a blemish on this animal? So stay tuned. The Gemara later on will ask that very question. In the meantime, however, we see the Mishnah inside. The Mishnah is on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah reads, Tamur's HaBechor, the HaMaiser, the exchange for the Bechor and the Maiser, Vladan, its offspring, Vladan, Atzof HaOlam, so it's eaten with a mum by its owners. A couple things over here. First of all, number one, by bechor, we're talking about the vlad of a bechor, the offspring of a bechor. So you realize that that's not happening. There is no offspring of a bechor. Bechor is only by a male animal, so the bechor simply does not have a offspring. But what you can do by the bechor is that you could transfer the kedusha to another animal through tamura. Again, you're not allowed to do that, but it would work. That animal that received the kedushas bechor could be a female, and then that female now with kedushas bechor can have a child, and that child obviously would be a male. Could be a male, which would give it now that child the offspring kedushas bechor. And truth be told, that child would have kedushas bechor whether it's male or female. Anyway, so just. Recognize that when the Mishnah says that the vlad of a bechor, it doesn't really mean the vlad of a bechor. It can't mean the vlad of a bechor. Two, the Mishnah says it's eaten by the owner, right? V'yochlu b'mumman l'ba'alin. The owner gets to eat it. Which one gets to eat it? Who gets to eat it? Okay, think this through. And you realize that really there are two candidates in terms of who the owner is going to be. On one hand, you would say the owner could be the Kohen, meaning that even though this animal right now is in the lot of a Yisrael, and he's the one who did Tamura, ostensibly, but nevertheless, if it has Kedushas Bechor, just like the original animal has to be given to a Kohen, this animal also has to be given to a Kohen as well. And so therefore, when the Mishnah says it's Nechal B'muman Lebalim, it means a Kohen. Kohen's allowed to eat it, just like the Kohen's allowed to eat a bechor with a mum, so too the Kohen's allowed to eat the Tamur's bechor with a mum as well. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that, no, when it says labalim, it actually means the owner, meaning the owner does not have an obligation to give it to a Kohen. Okay. Why not? Meaning, how do you understand that opinion? By the way, this is a machlokus between Tosfos and the Rambam. How do you understand the position that it's not given to a Kohen? Right, if it's Tamur's Bechor and has the same Kedusha as a Bechor, so why isn't it given to a Kohen? And presumably the answer would be, that it's never going to be offered as a Karban. Meaning, as we discussed in the beginning of today's shiur, this Tamur's Bechor is never offered as a Karban. So maybe the owner has the right to say to the Kohen, look, the Bechor, which at least has the potential of being a Karban. In fact, right now it is a Karban. Okay, that the Torah instructs me to give to you. But the Tamur's Bechor, which is never going to become a Karban, it will not be a Karban. It can be brought as a Karban. So therefore, that I simply have no obligation to give it to you. Okay, so that's unclear from the Mishnah who exactly gets to eat the Tamur's Bechor. Ma ben b'chor ma'isla ben kol ha'kashim, shekol ha'kashim neim karim be'ilas v'nishchatim be'ilas v'nishchatim be'litra, chutz min ha'b'chor v'ha'maiser. Differences between b'chor and ma'iser and all other karbanas. Difference number one is that when you have any other karban that becomes disqualified, and you have the ability to sell it for eating, and only eating, and you can't do gizin, you can't do avoda, so for those animals, the sale of the meat can be done in the marketplace. You could do it in the marketplace, with weights and measures. Now, it's psule hamukdashim, which means at one point in time it was a karban. And you could have made an argument, well, if it's a karban, it's not appropriate to sell in the marketplace like a regular piece of meat. Okay, but the mitigating factor is that the proceeds of that sale is going to the Beis HaMikdash, and so in order to generate the most amount of money for the Beis HaMikdash, so despite the fact that it is slightly inappropriate to sell in the marketplace, but the revenue generated by the sale is going to override the issue of psule hamukdashim. Otherwise put, you can sell in the marketplace using weights. Bechor meiser, you can't. Meaning, even if it develops a blemish, and even if you're going to sell it, which you're allowed to, we talked about that back in Bechoros, you're allowed to sell it to somebody after it develops a blemish. But there, it has to be sold out of the privacy of your own home, and it can't use weights and measures, meaning it cannot be sold like a piece of meat. You have to treat it with kedusha. Okay, and what's the difference? The revenue here is not going to the Beis HaMikdash. Revenue is going to the owner. And so because the owner now is getting the money, so therefore you don't have the mitigating factor anymore of more money to the Beis HaMikdash, and so therefore you can't sell it in the market. Yesh lam pidyon, ulus murasein pidyon. Now, for all other karbanos, you could redeem it. Obviously, we're talking about after it develops a blemish. And you can redeem the tamura of them as well. Chutz min ha'bechor v'ha'maiser. Bechor ha'maiser cannot be redeemed, the animals themselves, nor can the tamura of these animals be redeemed as well. Uva'in mechutz la'aretz, chutz min ha'bechor v'ha'maiser. It can come from outside Eretz Yisrael. Again, contrasting all other kachim, all other karbanos can come from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Not only can, but should. Meaning, if I'm living in Bavel, in Persia, wherever the case is, if I'm living in one of those places, so and I have a karban, I set aside a karban, I need to trek. I need to trek that animal out to the Beis HaMikdash and offer it in the Beis HaMikdash. Except for Bechor and Meiser, where the Mishnah tells us that if I have a Bechor and Meiser outside of Eretz Yisrael, I do not need to bring it in. However, the Mishnah says, if you want to, you may. You don't have to, but if you want to, you may. Okay? And Rabbi Shimon says, and what's the reason? Meaning, why is it that by all other kabbalists, I need to bring it to Yerushalayim, but by Bechor Maisa that are born outside of Eretz Yisrael, I don't need to bring it to Yerushalayim? And the answer, says Rabbi Shimon, is because by Bechor Meiser, there's a solution. Meaning, these animals can be eaten eventually with a mum. That's not true by other karbanos. Now, yes, it's true by other karbanos. If it gets a blemish, it will be redeemed, and then you can eat it. But before that blemish took place, you had to bring it to Yerushalayim. Masha ain't came, but however, that's not true regarding Bechor and Meiser. By Bechor and Meiser, from the very get-go, you know that you'll be able to eat it with a blemish. So therefore, it has the Mishnah's terminology is Parnasa Mim Kaman. You can benefit from it right over there in Chutz La'aretz. Okay. Amarava bar Rav Aza ban be ma'arava. Here's the following question that they asked in Eretz Yisrael. Amata mum betumors Bechor and Meiser mahu. Okay. Well, can you put a blemish on a Bechor and Meiser Behema that was born outside of Eretz Yisrael? So again, we know that there's an issue in the Torah of you're not allowed to place a blemish on a karban. The Torah says, "Kol mum lo yiyeh bo." You're simply forbidden from putting a blemish on, right? But over here, we're discussing now the Chemuras Bechor and the Chemuras Ma'aseh Behima. And we know, as we learned back in the Mishnah, they're not going on the Mizbeach. And because they're not going on the Mizbeach, maybe there's no Isser to put a blemish on these animals. Right? Think about it. It makes sense. The prohibition of putting a blemish on an animal is because you are withholding an animal from the Mizbeach. But if the result of you putting a blemish is not going to affect the Mizbeach whatsoever, and all it's going to do now is just simply allow you to eat the carbon, so perhaps it would be okay. You could put a blemish on the animal. On the other hand, says the Gemara, it does have Kedusha. It does have Kedushas Bechor. Granted, it's a limited Kedusha. Granted, it's a restricted Kedusha. You can't bring it on the Mizbech, but it still has Kedushas Bechor. So maybe you can't put a mum on it, just like you can't put a mum on the Bechor. So Amalei Abai V'tibai Alach Hamato Mum B'chi'i Shel Meiser. So the Gemara says, you know, we have another carbon in the world of carbonos where the result is the same, meaning it has kedusha and it cannot be offered on the mizbeach. Notably, the ninth animal. You're counting down the line towards Ma'aseh Behima, and you get to number nine, and it's a little bit early, and you're a little bit tired, and instead of calling it number nine, you call it number 10. Okay. It is now invested with Kedusha. But if you remember back in Bechoros, what did we learn about this ninth animal that was called number 10? It is Kadosh Ve'eno Karev. It has Kedusha, but it's not offered as a carbon, but rather it's going to be eaten with a mum, with a blemish. Now, same question. Can I put a blemish on this animal? All right. So really, it results to the same question. And Ela Maishnat Shi Delo Kami Balach Derechmana Miate Asir Lo Tziachi. Because, and you didn't ask me about that case because you knew the answer. You knew the answer was going to be that you're allowed to put a blemish on the animal. Here too, you're allowed to put a blemish on the animal. Hachanami Rechmana Miate Nelo Tiftek or Shem Haim Kraven Vein Tmorsan Kraven. Only the Bechor itself is offered as a carbon. The Tamur's Bechor is not offered as a carbon. That means that this particular animal now, you're allowed to put a blemish on, just like you're allowed to put a blemish on the ninth. Okay. We're going to do this again, meaning we're going to read the Gemara, next part of the Gemara, which is essentially going to be a repeat of what we just learned. But now, in this next version of the Gemara, we're going to invert the question-answer. Meaning the question is going to be on the chi, and the answer is going to be on the Timur's Bechor. Let's read inside first. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Matzah Lahachem, Rav Acha Bereid, Rav Azaban B'marava, Hamata Mum B'chisha Ma'isamahu. Can I place a blemish on the ninth animal? The ninth animal, which is which by accident I called number 10, and now it has Kedusha, but it's not offered as a carbon. Can I put a blemish on it? Amar Leih V'tibala Hamata Mum B'tmoros Bechor. O Ma'iser. Well, why didn't you ask me the same question by Tamurz Bechor Ma'aseh? Ela Ma'aseh, not Tamurz Bechor Ma'aseh, Delo Mi Ba'alach, Rechmanu Mi'atinu, Kar Hashem, Hein Kraven Vein Tamurz Am Kraven. Chi Shal Ma'aseh Nami, Rechmanu Mi'ateh, Asir Lo Tziyas Hachi. So just like by Tamurz Bechor, you knew the answer, you knew that you're allowed to put a blemish on it because it's not offered as a carbon. Here too, you're allowed to put a blemish on it because it's not offered as a carbon. Okay? You gotta somehow figure it out, come to some explanation of why both versions started with a different assumption, meaning the first version assumed that by a Bechor, I'm not sure, by Tamur's Bechor, I'm not sure, let's say, take a look at the ninth animal. Oh, ninth animal, obvious, it's Pasha, that you're allowed to put a blemish on the animal. And the second version has it just the other way around, meaning, I'm not sure about the ninth animal, but by Tamur's Bechor, it's Pasha, meaning, why is it that the first version felt the ninth animal was so Pasha? And the second version had Tamur's Bechor being so pasha. I'm not clear, but I don't know. But okay, it needs better analysis. V'im ba'ot mimim v'riminhu. Okay, the Gemara quoted the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if you have a Bechor born outside of Eretz Yisrael and you bring it with you into Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to, but the Mishnah says you can. Okay. V'riminu, the Gemara quotes, a steerer based on a brisa. Benetignus hella b'chors mibava v'lo kiblu mimenu. Benetignus brought a b'chor from outside of Eretz Yisrael, specifically from Bavel, and after making that long trek with the b'chor in tow, He got to the Beis HaMikdash and they said to him, no. No, you can't bring it. Right? It was a Bechor that's born outside of Eretz Yisrael, so you can't bring it. So, Amar Rav Chisda lo kasha. So everyone see the stira? The stira is that back in the Mishnah says that you can bring it. You don't have to, but you can. And the Braisa quoted in the name of Antignos, sorry, not in his name, but a story about Ben Antignos, where he did in fact try to bring it, and they weren't mekabel. They didn't accept it. Okay? Which clearly means that you can't bring it. So the Gemara says, Ha Rabbi Shmuel, Ha Rabbi Akiva, Ditanya. So the Gemara says, not a problem. It's a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel Ditanya. Now, we're going to learn a Braisa. And this Braisa is going to take up most of today's daf. Today's daf is really Chavbeis. Okay, that's an issue. But we're right now back on daf Chav Aleph. And we're about to embark on a Braisa. Now, this Braisa is going to quote three opinions. Rabbi Shmuel ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva. I think I had the order wrong. And each one is going to look at a pasuk from Parshas Re'eh. The pasuk says, V'achalt lefnei Hashem l'kecha, Ma'asar degan chavati rosh chavit zarecha, V'karz barkecha v'karcha v'tzonecha. And each Tana is going to learn something different from that pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Why are we calling this long brisa right now? This brisa starts right now at this point to Tanya, and it will go all the way to Chaf Aleph Amud Beis to nearly halfway down the Amud. Okay, so it's long. And the reason why is because when learning this brisa, you're going to see that the question of a bechor that's born outside of Eretz Yisrael, can I bring that as a bechor, meaning everyone agrees I don't have to, but can I bring that as a bechor, is now going to be subject to a machlokas amongst the Tanaim. The Tanya, we start with the Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Gimel, Dvarim, Mishum, Gimel, Zakenim. Three things were said by three elders, Rabbi Yishmael, Omer. And the three elders are, the Gemara is going to not introduce them all together, but Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Kiva, and Ben Azai. We start with Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael, Omer, Yachol, Yale, Adam, Meister, Sheni, Bezman, Azeh, V'yochlenu, B'Yerushalayim. I might have thought that nowadays we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Okay? But maybe, still bring Meister, Sheni. Right? And what's behind this? Seems like what's behind this is, look, Meister Sheni, although the Torah demands that I have to bring it up to Yerushalayim, but it really has no connection with the Beis HaMikdash. There's no offering, just simply bring it to Yerushalayim and eat in Yerushalayim. So I might have thought that even sans Beis HaMikdash, I still bring it to Yerushalayim and eat in Yerushalayim. So Yachli Allah the Meister Sheni Bezman Azev Yechlein Bishalayim V'dinu V'chor Tarn Havas Makom V'Meister Tarn Havas Makom. So the Gemara first starts off with Din, using Mido Shatar Nidreshes Bahem, making comparisons between Bechor and Meister. We say Meister over here, we mean Meister Sheni. Ma Bechor Inu Nachal B'fnei Abayis Af Meister Inu Nachal B'fnei Abayis. Well, Bechor, I could only have Bechor if there's a Beis HaMikdash. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, I don't have Bechor. So maybe the same thing is true by Meister Sheni. Lo. Im amart b'bechor shekein tal matan damen ve'im orim l'gabim mizbeach tovem ma'meister delo. So the Gemara says that, you know, you can't compare those two. Bechor, you need matan damen. The blood has to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. If you don't have a mizbeach, you can't sprinkle the blood. And the imorim need to be burned on the top of the mizbeach. If you don't have a mizbeach, I can't burn the imorim. So how can you compare Bechor to Meister Sheni? Okay, fine. Amard bikurim tunun havas makom meister tun havas makom ma bikurim inachal mel b'fnei abayis av meister inachal b'fnei abayis. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? Let's try it this way. Well, bikurim can only be eaten when there's a Beis HaMikdash. So just like bikurim can, so same thing with meister sheni. Again, the Gemara says, what kind of comparison is that? Ma bikurim she came to anim hanacha. By bikurim, the pasuk says vihi nachto. You place the basket of the Bikurim on the Mizbeach. Okay? So, V'hinach tol lefnei Hashem l'kecha. So, and you don't have the requirement by Meister Sheni, so Tomer b'Meister d'lo, so Tomer l'omar. Good. So we tried Din. We tried the, we'll call it Binyanav. We tried learning it from Bechor. We tried learning it from Bikurim. Right? Same basic words. We tried learning from both. Both of them you can learn out because they both require the Mizbeach. Meister Sheni does not require the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, okay, so we can't learn it out from them. So we're going to go to a Pasuk from Parshas Re'eh. So Tamal Omer v'achalt lefnei Hashem Elokecha matzah degancha v'ti roshecha v'yitzarecha u'v'korot bekarcha v'tzoncha hikish ma'isa l'bechor ma'bechor inu nechal b'fnei habayis v'maisa inu nechal b'fnei habayis. And says the Gemara, it is a hekesh. In that pasuk in Re'eh, we have in that same pasuk, Maiser Sheni and Bechor. So just like Bechor needs the Beis HaMikdash, so does Maiser Sheni also need the Beis HaMikdash. Vili Hadar Dina, the Gemara now just makes one last stab at that Binyanav. Okay? We have what's called the Binyanav Mishnei Ksuvim. If I can't write and we create a Binyanav based on one pasuk, so we'll try to make it from two psukim, or what the Gemara calls it, a Tzad Hashaveh. So look, we struck out with learning Maaser Sheni from Bechor. We struck out with learning Maaser Sheni from Bikurim. So how about learning from the commonality of the two? So v'liha d'dina v'leisa b'ma atzad. Amar Rav Ashi mishon d'ikal ameimah ma'al atzad sha'a shava shabahen shekeng yish b'em tzad mizbeach. And the Gemara very quickly throws that aside. The Gemara says, you can't really do that. For the simple reason that even if I put the two together, but Bechor and Bikurim both require Mizbeach. Maaser Sheni does not require Mizbeach, so I can't even learn it, even using the method of a Mehatzad. I'm sorry, Hatzad HaShavah Shabbat. Okay, back to the issue at hand. Okay, we were entertaining the idea of eating Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, even without a Beis HaMikdash. There seems to be really a much larger issue which the Gemara up until this moment has not discussed, and that is, well, what's the status of Yerushalayim nowadays? This is an oldie but goodie. We come up with this time and again throughout the Gemara, and that is, does the Kedusha of Yerushalayim perpetuate even if there is no Beis HaMikdash? We've seen this already back. We saw this as recently as Erechin, the end of Erechin. This is Masechta Megillah in Yana Diyuma. Same discussion is had Daf Yud, I think, in Megillah. Okay, this is a discussion that comes up again and again. Kedusha Rishona, Kisha Lashaita. Okay, the first Kedusha that was invested, that Kedusha that was invested by Ezra when he comes back up and builds by Sheni. Does that continue? Does that kedusha continue? Actually, the question goes back one step. The question goes back to the Bais Rishon, meaning even by the first Beis HaMikdash. After the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, does the kedusha of Yerushalayim still continue even for those 7 years of Gaulus? Or when Ezra came back, did he have to reinvest it with kedusha? All this should sound extraordinarily familiar as we went through this very discussion at the end of Erechin. Okay, but here we are now in Temura, and the Gemara says, isn't this question really contingent? Meaning, we're asking about eating Maaser Sheni nowadays without a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Shouldn't we first establish whether the Kedusha Rishon is Kishla Shaita or Kishla Salavo? Good. So this is where the Gemara is going to ask, Ma'ka Savi, Kasavi Kedusha Rishon, Kishla Shaita, Kishla Salavo, Loshna Bechor, Loshna Maaser, B'nei Hava'a Ninhu. So, if the Kedusha perpetuates, So the Kedusha now continues. And the Gemara seems to be making a suggestion, somewhat radical, which is, so if it has Kedusha, so bring it all. Bring Bechor, bring Maaser Sheni, bring it all. Now, Bechor, you have a technical issue in that you don't have a Mizbeach. Okay, I'm not sure if the Gemara is really proposing that we can just put up a Mizbeach nowadays and offer Bechor. It seems like that's what the Gemara is suggesting. All right, but certainly, I don't know if I want to say anything that crazy by Bechor, but certainly by Maaser Sheni, it's fair. It's fair to say that it has Kedusha, so bring it up nowadays. And look, if there's no longer any Kedusha nowadays, and once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so Yerushalayim now is without Kedusha, so then what are you asking about Maaser Sheni for? Meaning, it's the same thing by Bechor. Meaning, we're trying to learn from Bechor. What are you going to learn from Bechor? Yerushalayim simply doesn't have Kedusha. So, the Iksa Ikatsav Kedusha Vishon Kishla Shayt Velo Kishla Asi Lava, Fil Bechor Namiti Bailach. La'olam Kisav Kedusha Vishon Kishla Shayt Velo Kishla Asi Lava. So, the Gemara says that our assumption is going to be that it does not have Kedusha. That after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim lost its Kedusha. So how are we learning anything from Bechor? V'achem ha'maizkinik ha'gon, sh'nizra ha'dama sh'bechor b'fnei ha'bayit v'charav ha'bayit v'adayim v'sarar kayam. So the case over here, albeit a very strange case, the case over here is like this. I shechted my Bechor during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. I sprinkled the blood. And immediately upon sprinkling of the blood, we had a Chorban. We experienced the destruction of the temple. Okay? Again, not that the Gemara is actually entertaining the possibility that this is going to happen, but it, in theory, it could happen this way. Now, if so, essentially now, what do I have? I have the meat of the Bechor, which really is mutter because I did sprinkle the blood, but currently, right now, I no longer have a Beis HaMikdash. Okay. And to which now the Gemara says, look, Kevin the Isil Adam Lo Bar Zrikahu, Right now, currently, with no Beis HaMikdash, I don't have an option to sprinkle the blood. Meaning my ability to eat the meat of this Bechor, it is directly contingent on my ability to sprinkle the blood. Now, even though I already did sprinkle the blood when the Beis HaMikdash was there, but currently there is no Beis HaMikdash. And so that means that currently I can't eat the meat. Fine. So, asi basi yalef midam. So, we're going to learn about meat from blood. V'asi maser yalef nebechor. And now we're going to learn out maser sheni from bechor. Okay? Alright, so I know that all this sounds a little complicated, but essentially, in the scenario where the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed after I sprinkled the blood of the Bechor, so the story is that because I can't sprinkle the blood right now, I can't eat the meat, and because I can't eat the meat right now, I therefore cannot eat my Maaser Sheni as well. Meaning everything will be contingent on the fact that right now I no longer have the ability to sprinkle blood, being that there's no longer a Mizbeach. Okay. As complex as that is, the Gemara over here is bothered by a very straightforward question, which is that right now we're talking about Karbanos. We're talking about a Bechor. Now, we learned back in Zvachim, Daf Nun, we learned back in Zvachim that in all other areas of Halacha, you could do that. You can make a limud, you could use another limud, and you can basically go from point to point and connect the dots of Halacha using whatever kind of limud you want. You can go from Binyan Av, you can extend that to a Kavachomer, or you can make one Kavachomer and extend that to another Kavachomer. You can do all that. However, in the world of Karbanos, you can't. In the world of Karbanos, you can only learn, you can only make one step. You can only make one Binyanav, one Kavachomer. You can't go two steps. And over here, it seems like we violate that rule, because we went from the blood to the meat, and from the meat to Maaser Sheni, Omi Yafin and Kodesh Me'adad Yavamer Rav Yochanan Kolator Kula Meidim Lamed Min Lamed Chutz Min HaKachum Shein Lamed Min Lamed. You can't do that over here. So the Gemara says, we seem to have violated the rule of no two-step Maaser Chulin Hu. To which the Gemara says that, well, we're learning, everything is, the destination of this limud is Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni is Chulin. Right? Does not have Kedusha. It's chulin with restrictions. You have to eat in Yerushalayim. You can only eat in Yerushalayim, but still, nevertheless, it's chulin. The Gemara says, yeah, but going back to that discussion we had back in Zvachim, this all will work only, this exception that we just mentioned, that because our destination point is Maaser Sheni, which is really chulin, so therefore it does not violate the rule of the two-step. That's only if you're focusing on the destination. What if you're focusing on the source? Meaning the source of all this is the Zrikas Adam of Bechor. That's Kachim. So yes, it's true we're learning the destination point is Maaser Sheni, but the origination point is Bechor. And so therefore, we look at this not as a limud of chulin, but we look at this as a limud of karbon. And it's again, it's a two-step. You're not allowed to make that two-step. So the Gemara says, "Basav adam chadam el sehi." So the Gemara says, "Well, the blood meat is not a step in of itself, but rather that's one general point that you're not allowed to eat the meat if I can't sprinkle the blood. That's not two. That's not already a step. That's already the origination point. And from there we move to Meiser Sheni. Fine. That was all Rabbi Yishmael. And now we get to Rabbi Kiva. Now I might have thought that I'm allowed to bring a Bechor that was born in Chutz Ha'aretz to Yerushalayim. Tamalam Rav Achal Tufnei Hashem Elokecha. Mas Degan Chav Tirosh Chav Yitzarech Chav Kors Bar Chav Yitzon Chav. Mimakam Shat Amala Maser Dagan At Amala Bechor. Mimakam Shei At Amala Maser Dagan. We go back to that same pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, and from that pasuk we learn a hekesh. Just like maser dagon only comes from grains that are born, that are grown in Eretz Yisrael, so too bechor only comes from animals that are born in Eretz Yisrael. Animals that are born outside of Eretz Yisrael are not qualified and are not brought to the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, that's Rabbi Kiva's drasha. It still requires more thought, more clarification. Meaning, those animals that are born outside, they're not divested of kedusha; they still have kedushas bechor, just are not brought to Yerushalayim. So, according to Rabbi Kiva, like, what are they? What are those animals that are born outside of Eretz Yisrael? They're kabanos. It's hard to really fit them into a category of what they are, considering the fact that according to Rabbi Kiva, they're prohibited to be brought onto the Mizbeach. They're almost like blemished animals, even though they're not blemished, but we treat them almost as if they're born with blemishes on them. Something along those lines. Ben Azai Omer Yachol Male Es Meister Sheni V'yochlen B'chol Haro'eh. Okay, third drasha, right? We said when we introduced this brisa, we're still in this brisa. There are three zikanim. Of the three zikanim, we're up to number three now, Benazai, and here's the Havamina. When I take my Meister Sheni to Yerushalayim, I don't have to actually confine myself to the walls of Yerushalayim. I can eat them as long as I see Yerushalayim. That's crazy? Not so crazy. Right? Today's Purim. In Yerushalayim today, it's not Purim. Meaning, as we know, Yerushalayim is a walled city. From the time of any walled city, from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, celebrates Purim on Shushan, what we call Shushan Purim, the 15th day of Adar. And so they're reading the Megillah tomorrow in Yerushalayim. Now the halacha is, it's not limited to Yerushalayim proper, the walled city of Yerushalayim, right, Ir HaAtika, but it's in fact anywhere where you could see Yerushalayim. So you're living in Ramot, in Gilo, in Harnof, anywhere that you could see Yerushalayim, Kol HaRoeh, has the same status, and you read the Megillah, Harnof, tomorrow, not today. Good. So being that that's the case, so the Gemara says, I might have thought the same thing should be true for Meister Sheni. Mind you, of course, not for the same reason. I mean, Purim and Meister Sheni do not have to do with one another, but I'm just using the Purim as an example. So I might have thought that my Sosheni, same story. Vidinu b'chor ta'onavas makom v'vas umaser. Ta'onavas makom ha'b'chor inu nechal ufnim nechom ha'maser inu nechal ufnim nechom ha. So what Ben Azai tries to do again is use din, use a binyan av, and compare the halacha b'chor to the halacha my Sosheni. And just like b'chor has to be eaten within the walls, so to my Sosheni has to be eaten in the walls. So the Gemara says, come on. Ma'al b'chor shken ta'man damim v'imon l'gabim mizbech. So the Gemara says, yeah, but again, we make the same point that we made earlier this morning. Bechor needs the mizbeach. Meister Sheni does not. So the Gemara says, Hekesh. Hekesh of Ben Azai teaches us that just like Bechor is eaten inside the wall, so too is your Meister Sheni eaten inside the walls. Now, my kashla de kamayachal amart holal vitanan. Okay, the Gemara now is bothered by a very simple question. What was the Havamina? The Gemara, for a couple of minutes, for a couple of lines, expressed a Havamina that your Meister Sheni could be eaten as long as you see Yerushalayim. Where was the starting point for that whole discussion that we needed a Hekesh to say otherwise? To which the Gemara explains, I might have thought, Yachal Amart Ho'a B'Tanan. Well, look, let's take a look at our Mishnah. from Megillah. Ain ben shinit l'shila Yerushalayim, ela shebishila ochlin kashim kalam ma'isra sheni b'chol ha'roa. Over Yerushalayim lifnim in ha'choma, kashi kashim lifnim in ha'klayim. So ma'u detema b'Yerushalayim leithi ma'isra sheni b'chol ha'roa. Look, we had Shiloh, and for 369 years, the halacha was is that you can eat your karbanos as long as you see Shiloh. By Shiloh, it's kol ro'eha. So I recently just heard a beautiful shiur by Rabbi Miller, and he quoted Rav Kook, beautifully explained that Shiloh and Yerushalayim are different in terms of the halachas of eating your karbanos, where Shiloh, you eat them b'chol ha'roem, as long as you see Shiloh, and Yerushalayim, you eat it only within the walls. So he explained beautifully that Shiloh, which is located in the shevet of Yosef, takes on the persona of Yosef. Yosef was somebody who had a philosophy of going out into the world and not an insular philosophy, but greet the world philosophy. Well, I guess what we'd call more modern philosophy. Whereas the Beis HaMikdash was in the shevet of Yehuda, and Yehuda, on the other hand, had a more insular philosophy. He believed that the tafkid of Bnei Yisrael is to be insular and to basically influence the world by example, but from an insular standpoint. And as you see nowadays, that machlokus between Yosef and Yehuda still rages in our world. But anyway, that's the difference between Shiloh versus Yerushalayim. But anyway, so Shiloh, the halacha is kol haroa, meaning as long as you see Shiloh, you can eat the karbon, and you can eat your ma'aser sheni. So maybe I would have thought the same thing's true by Yerushalayim, at least vis-a-vis ma'aser sheni. Okay, kama shalom. That's the havamina, and the chiddush is the hekesh. Now, that took us through Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, and Ben Azai, each one of them pointing to that same pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, v'achalta l'fnei Hashem elokecha, each one learning out a different halacha. And the point of all this, meaning the entire Bresa was brought in, to illustrate that that's the machlokas that we saw between our Mishnah and Ben Antignus. Ben Antignus tried to bring a Bechor that was born outside of Eretz Yisrael into Yerushalayim, and they said to Ben Antignus, no, we don't accept it. We don't accept it. Who is that? That's Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, learning through the Drasha, says that just like Maaser Dagon is only for those grains that are grown in Eretz Yisrael, Bechor are only for those animals that are born in Eretz Yisrael. Good. And our Mishnah that says that you're allowed to bring Bechor, even if the Bechor is born outside of Eretz Yisrael, that Shitas Rabbi Yishma. Well, okay. Acherim Omrim. One more opinion, which was not introduced earlier, in terms of what we're going to do with this pasuk from Parshas Re'eh. And the Gemara just simply quotes this as Shitas Acherim. What if I have a Bechor that's over a year old? We know that by certain karbanos, once it's over a year, it's already disqualified. I might have thought the same thing is true regarding a Bechor. So just like by Meiser Sheni, it doesn't become disqualified even if it's over a year old. So to Bechor does not become disqualified even if it's over a year old. Now, the Chachamim over here can mean anyone we mentioned up above. Rabbi Shmuel ben Azai, Rabbi Akiva. What are they going to do? Where are they going to learn out this halacha? Meaning they agree to the halacha, but they already use the pasuk. Okay, so they quote another pasuk from Parshas Re'eh. The pasuk says shana b'shana. And what do Acherim do with this pasuk of shana shana? So what they learn after this pasuk is that it's possible to eat the Bechor in two different calendrical years. Meaning you're eating it on the last day of the previous year and the first day of the upcoming year. In other words, Bechor is eaten for 2 days. Shana v'shana. Good. Now, v'rabanan, d'nachal beiz yamim v'layla echad minalu. Now, the chachamim, where do they learn out this halacha? That the Bechor can be eaten for 2 days? So the Gemara says they have a different source. They learn it out from Amakra Yelacha kechazeh hatnufa. They learn it out from the chazeh hatnufa. Right, the Torah compares the bechor to the chazeh of the shlamim, just like the shlamim is eaten for 2 days. So, to bechor is eaten for 2 days. Good. Hajan elach elu kachem. This is the end of the third parak. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the fourth parak and save the best for last, meaning, I don't know about the best, but we've discussed now tamura of pretty much every karban, asham, ola, toda, shlamim, right? And most recently, today's daf, bechor, and maisa behema. And tomorrow we start the fourth parak, and tomorrow we will be introducing ourselves to tamuras chatas. Tamuras chatas, obviously, halach lamoshe misinai. It's a category in of itself, and in tomorrow gets a parak all to itself. A short parak coming up. Okay, stop over here.